I'd like over these few opportunities to share with you from God's Word to consider together something of the call of God. I'd like this morning, in the time that's available, to just introduce this, to look at some scriptures that shed some light on what it means to be called by God and what we are called by God. I would then like, perhaps tonight, to share a little on what the scriptures tell us about the privilege of being called into God's family. Particularly the idea of, well, in a sense we're children, aren't we? In a sense we're slaves in the household of God. In a sense we're children. And I suppose we could say as to duty, we're slaves. As to privilege, we're children. I'd like to look at the ideas of rebirth and adoption and see some of the profound spiritual significance in those, but also to think of the idea of being sons and firstborn sons. You know, nowadays we so often read those scriptures, don't we, and we change the word son to children so as not to offend the ladies, but we miss so much of the significance and the truth when we do that. I'd like to explore something of the significance of being a firstborn son in God's family. That'll be tonight. Anyway, the call of God. Now, I'm halfway through my 29th year of teaching, and I get awfully lost without a board, so please, I might just put up a few things on the board as we go along. The scriptures tell us about our calling. I'd just like to pray, and then go to the scriptures and enjoy something of what God has to tell us and teach us on this subject. Call then. The word translated by the English word call or calling, the words call or calling are in fact used over 700 times in the scripture. Most of those references relate to calls to service or obedience of some sort. It's not just in the New Testament, it's in the Old Testament as well. And it's not just individual. We also find the nation of Israel called. Funnily enough, it's not just God's people who are called. Maybe we could quickly see a few scriptures here. If we turn first to 1 Samuel chapter 3, and before we even read a verse, you know what the story is about, don't you? The call of Samuel. So here's one of the stories of an individual being called. When we read of the call of someone's call, it is according to God's sovereign purpose. And as I said a moment ago, it's not just the individual. We could find more cases, but let's see the nation being called. Over to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. And we might get verse 1 here. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. One of the translations says, I have called you by name, you are mine. I'll read a few verses from the start of chapter 49. Listen to me, you islands, hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendour. So again, we see the nation being called. Now, as I said a moment ago, God's call is not only to those who know him. Funnily enough, if you just turn back a page or two to Isaiah 45, we read here, chapter 45, verse 1, this is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of, to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armour, to open gates, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. We read of the call of Moses. We're familiar with these stories, the call of Elisha, the call of Gideon, of Jeremiah. But in the Old Testament, the emphasis is on a sovereign God working out his purpose. When we come over to the New Testament, the word call is used in the same sorts of ways, but here in the New Testament, the emphasis, the call of God is in Christ Jesus. I'd like to just read Philippians 3:14. I'll read this one. It says, I press on, the Apostle Paul says, towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We find a subtle change of emphasis. The call is to obedience and faith. The emphasis is on the obedience and faith of the call. We'll come back to that in a moment. I guess one of the classic call stories that comes to mind would be the call of the disciples. We won't take time to read that, but Mark chapter 1 and other places in the Gospel, we're familiar, aren't we, with the story of the call of the disciples. I thought we might just look up some scriptures now that this is more by way of kind of groundwork for the message tonight and next week. But it would be really good to take a few moments to see some of the scriptures that teach us about aspects of God's call, what we are called to. So I might just put these up on the board, in fact. If we could get someone to read to us 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Now, I know you're all in honour preferring one another down there, but we need to move through these fairly quickly. Call from darkness, I'll paraphrase some of these slightly, but we're called from darkness into his wonderful light. Now you could preach a whole sermon on each of these, but we're not going to say much about them. We're going to just see these truths from Scripture briefly and then push on. Let's get Galatians 1 verse 15. Called by grace. Romans 8, verse 28. I've tired fingers after this long. Romans 8, 28. Called according to his purpose. First Corinthians 1 verse 9. Okay. Called into fellowship with Christ. Can we get someone to read to us? 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12. Called into God's kingdom of glory. And we get 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 and 14.
But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because
Right. So I'm paraphrasing it slightly. Call to salvation through the gospel. I don't know whether I should be encouraging the ladies to read the verses or not. I'm not sure what protocol is here. Anyway, if we can just move very quickly, I've got a few more and then we'll push on. I'd like to get someone to read 2 Thessalonians, seeing as we're in that part of the Bible. Well, we'll leave that one go, I think. We're going to get too bogged down. Here we go. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Called to eternal life. Here's one that's a bit more difficult. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 15. But part of God's call. Galatians 5:13. Just two or three more. To be free, writes the apostle, and he's quick to point out that's not free to do whatever you like, to indulge your sinful nature, but free to serve each other in love. And we might just put this one up too. Here's another one that's not so easy, in fact quite painful. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21. Someone got it there? Called to suffer. I'm not going to be able to see it down the bottom there, but we are called to suffer. It's some of us might recall the little testimony by Esther Staines at her family's funeral. You might recall how she spoke very bravely, and she spoke of how she counted it. She thanked God that her father and her brothers were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. And we are called to suffer. We don't suffer very much, at least we haven't been called on to suffer all that much yet. But suffering is part of God's call. And so on. There are many, many more. But can we see that God's call is an all-embracing kind of a thing? It has many theological aspects. It has many practical aspects as well. We might think of God's call to us as Him at work in us, drawing us to discipleship and obedience. It begins with a general call, not just to us, but to all who are lost. Think of the words of, we're in Isaiah 45 a moment ago. We won't look back to it, but Isaiah 45 verse 22. The call is, come unto me, turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none other. And the gospel, as we well know, is to whosoever will. Jesus in Matthew's gospel, chapter 22 verse 14, makes a distinction between the called and the chosen. And he said, many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus is making a distinction between those who hear, that is the called, and those who respond, that is the chosen. Paul handles it a little differently. Some of us might recall these scriptures where Paul speaks of those, in fact, I'll look this one up because I want to read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, a chapter where we were a moment ago. To those whom God has called, this is the preaching of Christ, to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Paul makes a distinction between the called and the chosen. Sorry, Jesus did, but Paul equates them. And in Romans 8, verse 28, the scripture we read a moment ago too, in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, call entails an onus on the called to respond. Call also implies something personal, individual, as God deals with us and draws us in an individual way. It's a truth, the truth, isn't it, that God knows us personally. He loves us personally, and he calls us, draws us personally and individually. I went through a stage in my thinking about these issues where I was confused by a theological emphasis which I later came to understand as hyper-Calvinism, where the idea of some being destined to wrath really bothered me. And it's true, but only in the sense, only in that God has equipped mankind with free will. Because God is eternal. He knew before the foundation of the world that you and me would respond to the gospel. He also knew that many others would not respond. God has chosen, God is choosing, God will choose. God has called, God is calling, and God will call. God is past, present, and future all at once. So in one sense, we are all called, every human being. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Come unto me, all ye that labour, said the Lord. Keeping a bit of an eye on our time here. We use the word call in English to identify and describe something, do we not? This is called a Bible. He is called John. We use the word in that way. Paul, in the start of 1 Corinthians 1, he says, I'm called to be an apostle. See, we use the word call in an almost offhand way, almost as a kind of name tag. But the Greek and Hebrew words translated call imply very much more. They imply capacity, power, and function. They also imply a relationship between the called and the caller. When God calls us his disciples, for instance, he calls us to be his disciples. When he calls us his children, it's more than just a declaration of our status. It implies function and relationship and role. So, biblical, when God calls us something, it is much more than just a tag. It implies function, role, and relationship. In some cultures, of course, names do mean a whole lot more. Certainly in Asian cultures they do. And we know many folks in India who have what we would consider to be very unusual names. But a common boy's name, for example, in India is Godly. Now, that's a very nice name, isn't it? But it would be a very unusual name here because we see names so differently. And certainly, and one of the lads we had in Clarence's school, his name was John 3:16. We used to just call him John T.S. John 3:16 was a bit of a mouthful. But the whole idea of a name meant something quite different in that culture. It implied function, role, and relationship, and all of those other things. Biblical names and titles invariably imply character and role. And I was going to talk about some more, but I haven't really got time to do this. Just mention some of them. I won't even take time to look these all up. We're called sons of God. I want to talk about that one tonight in some detail. And particularly talk about the privilege of the firstborn son in the Hebrew household. And see something of the privilege that we have as firstborn sons in the family of God. So we're called sons of God. We're called kings and priests. We are called heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We're actually called God's family. In another scripture, we are called ambassadors. In 1 Peter 4:16, we're called Christians. Now that word's not used very much in scripture, but that's one place where we are clearly called Christians or Christ ones. In Hebrews 2:11 and 12, we're called brothers. And in John 15, verse 15, Jesus called his own friends. And so we don't want to see that truth, that rather special truth, that biblical names and titles are not just name tags, but they imply character and role and relationship. Now, we're going to run out of time soon, but I would like to just bring out four scriptures here. To all this business of our call, our response, we're called, and with all that that entails, what should be our response to this? Let's look up a few here. Jude chapter 1. Verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, that's us, isn't it? The call, and we've spoken a bit about that. We've seen that God's call is to all the ends of the world, come unto me, all you that labour. And most of us, if not all of us, have responded to that call, and we belong to the Saviour. To those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. So as we contemplate the notion, the idea of God's call, it's to those who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. Let's just turn to a scripture in Ephesians 4 verse 1. Ephesians 4 verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. That's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? Are our lives truly worthy of the calling, the high calling in Christ? I urge you to live a life worthy of that high calling, says the apostle. Perhaps our response this morning would be that of 1 Peter 2 verse 9. All of these scriptures that show to us aspects and angles to this notion of name and calling. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness. We read it a moment ago, didn't we? Into his wonderful light, that you may declare the praises of him who called you. God's desire is that we declare the praises, we who have been called, we who have been chosen, if we make that distinction, that we respond in praise and worship. May we declare the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Perhaps one more scripture. First, 2 Thessalonians 1. Verse 11, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may account you worthy of His calling, and that by His power He may fulfill every good purpose of yours and act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the idea that the apostles desire that we walk worthy of His calling, in order that we might glorify, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified in us. And so that might be our response this morning. We'll see more of these matters more specifically, more to do with God's call and what that means, and the names that God has called us by, and the responsibilities and the roles that God has called us to. But may it be that we respond in praise and worship to the glory of the name of our Lord Jesus.